Good morning, church, and welcome home. Thanks for joining us today. Who's ready to worship and hear the word today? Amen. It's going to be a good one. Excited to have Pastor Carlos back preaching this morning. So if we can take a quick minute, if everybody just wants to turn and wave, say good morning. And also don't forget, if you guys want to turn around and wave to the camera, good morning. Everybody that's in our overflow room, everybody that is joining us live on YouTube, we are so happy to have you guys here with us this morning. Well, guys, we only have one announcement this morning, so this is going to be pretty quick and easy. Next Sunday is going to be the official installation of our new pastor. Amen. Man, what an exciting time. So August the 16th, our district superintendent is going to be here at Home Church to officially install Pastor Carlos as our new senior pastor. So we're going to be having a drive-in service so that we can safely fit more than 50 people in attendance. So that way, whoever wants to be here, please come and join us for that next week. Reverend Steve Scott is going to be performing the installation ceremony, and he is also going to be giving the message. So he will be sharing next Sunday with us. So please come and join us during this joyous occasion of installing our new shepherd, Pastor Carlos Garcia, and his beautiful family. All right, guys. So if we can put our hands together right now, we're going to welcome Miss Anita to the stage. Miss Anita, where are you at?
Good morning. It's so nice to see so many children here this morning. Okay, kids, do you remember the story of Goldilocks and the Three Bears? Okay, as long as you remember that. It's a story all about a little girl going into a stranger's house when they weren't home. She got very frightened when the bears came home. The lesson we learned from this story is you should never go into people's houses when they're not at home. It's a simple story about bears that helps us understand a lesson that is so important. Jesus told stories to help people understand something that might be hard to understand. One of his stories is about two men who each decided to build a house. The two men went out looking for a special place to build their houses. The first man was very wise. He wanted to build a house that was strong. If a strong wind or heavy rains came, he did not want his house to fall apart or wash away. The wise man knew the most important part in building a house was the foundation. The foundation is the bottom of the house. The wise man looked everywhere until he found the perfect spot, a huge, flat rock. The rock would be the foundation for his house. He dug around and he chipped the rock until it was the perfect size to start building. After he moved in, the storms came, the winds blew, and lots of rain came. But the wise man was very safe in his house. He did not worry, because he built his house on the rock. Jesus also told the story about another man. He was foolish, and he did not worry about the future. He found a nice flat place and started building. He built his house on the sand. His foundation kept slipping and sliding. He didn't care. He just wanted to build a house. Have you built sandcastles at the beach? What happens when a wave came or you poured some water on it? Guess what? The storms came and his house fell apart. He didn't have a firm foundation. We know that God is the maker of everything. He made us and he knows what is best for us. So he gives us good choices to follow in the Bible. And these rules are meant to make us wise and strong, not hurt us. God doesn't want to boss us around. He loves us, and he wants the best for us. He wants us to listen to what he says in the Bible and obey. Matthew 7:24. So then everyone who hears my words and puts them into practice is like a wise man. He builds his house on the rock. Would you rather be foolish or wise? If you build your life on obeying God's, that's like building your life on the rock. We will be strong when situations around us are hard to handle. God has a plan for your life. Sure, there will be storms, but always remember that God is with you, and never forget that God loves you.
Thank you, Miss Anita. I gotta tell you, my kids absolutely love getting their packages in the mail from Miss Anita every week, but I gotta be honest with you, I don't know who's more excited about it, them or me. I love when they come too. Thank you, Miss Anita. Church, we're gonna move into our time of giving and worship right now. So again, we just wanna thank all of you who have remained faithful during this time with your tithes and offerings. So again, we're not gonna be passing the offering plates around this morning. We encourage you and folks that are listening at home, we're encouraging you to continue giving either online or through check by mail. Anybody that's here in attendance with us this morning, if you happen to bring your tithes and offerings, again, we do have the box on the left-hand side wall as you're exiting the sanctuary. All right, let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this day, Lord. We praise you. You are the great I am. Thank you for never changing, Lord, being the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Father God, we just praise you for everything that you are doing in our church, in our lives, the way that you have shown your faithfulness to us, Lord. And Father God, we come to you this morning in obedience and show our faithfulness to you as we give our tithes and offerings. Lord, we just pray that you bless these offerings, that you take them and use them to further your kingdom so that we can do your work and remain in your will, Lord. Father God, we just pray a special blessing over this time of worship. I just pray for Josh and our worship team as they prepare to lead us this morning, Lord. We just welcome you here this morning, Lord. Make your presence known. Let us know that you're here with us, Lord. Let this be a time to break down any barriers, any walls, anything that might have been distracting us this week, Father God, as we prepare to hear your word. We just pray a blessing over Pastor Carlos. We just pray that you anoint his words this morning and let his message, let us receive it with open ears and open hearts. Let it make a change in us. Let it speak to us. Let it stir us, Lord. And we just pray this in your precious name. Amen.
Amen. Let's all stand to our feet. Hallelujah. How's everybody doing? So good to be back. I missed every single one of you guys. And it's a privilege to be back in the house of God. Who's ready to worship? Lord, we invite you, God. We give you praise. Hallelujah. For those of you that are watching the video and podcast at home, please stand with us. And God, it's all about you this morning. We worship you in spirit and in truth. Focus your heart, your mind on Jesus this morning, as we invite the Holy Spirit into this place.
Nothing can compare. tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence.
Your glory, God, is
God, we worship you this morning. Hallelujah. Who's going through a hard time right now? Some of us are, some of us aren't. If you're not, praise God. If you are, praise God. Because it's through the waters of life sometimes that we are discouraged. Sometimes it's hard to go through those things. But everything that God does, he does for a purpose, and those hard times is what brings us closer to the cross, oftentimes. And so if you're here and you're going through hard times, the oceans of life, may this song speak to you, because it's in the oceans. God is still here. And he has the power and the authority to calm the storm in your life today. If you'll believe that, watch God do the miracle.
Stronger.
The next question I have for you guys is, now that we're at the cross, are you ready to say yes this morning? How about, are you ready to trade those hard things in your life, those bad things in your life, for the good things? How many know God is in the exchanging business? Just say yes this morning. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Sing with me. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord, amen. Yes, say yeah. We're saying yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord, amen. One more time, yes, Lord. Come on, church. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord.
Persecuted, not abandoned, struck down but not destroyed. No, I'm blessed beyond the curse, for his promise will endure, and his joy is gonna be my strength. And though sorrow may last for the night, his joy comes in the morning. And I'm trading my sorrow. I'm trading my sorrow.
there is none like you, Lord. We're saying yes, Lord. Yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, yes, Lord. Amen. We're saying yes to you this morning, God. Yes to your will, Lord. Yes to your purpose, God. Yes to the future. Yes to you, Lord. God, we ask, God, for your presence, Lord. We thank you so very much, God, for your anointing. We thank you, Lord God, for the vision that you're going to give us, Lord. The power that you give us, the purpose that you give us, Lord. We ask that you would bless your word today. We thank you, Lord, for what you're doing and what you're going to do. And all God's people said, amen. You may be seated.
Amen. Can we give a worship team a hand this morning? Praises. Oh, it's so good to see your faces this morning. I want to give a little shout out to, it's so good to see Keith and Joey here this morning. And Amy, good to see you guys. Terry, welcome back. I got some exciting news. We have a young man on our, doing our video side of things, helping out Luke and Pete. And so I want to give a hand to Ezra. He's only, I believe, 13. It's so cool to see young men rising up. And we have a couple birthdays, too. Let's see. We got Linda Bailey and Ruth Ely. Ruth Ely's here with us. So on the count of three, one, two, three. Happy birthday. We love you. Those who are watching on the podcast or listening on the podcast, watching live right now, we're with you. Want to say thank you. And those who are in the overflow room, we want to say thank you for being patient with us during these times. And I also want to say, don't forget to pray for our country. Thank you for that arousing affirmation, brother. Our president, vice president, leaders, governors, they need God. No matter what your political view, we need God in this country. And so don't forget to pray. I've titled this message, The Convictions of a Godly Disciple. Ask your neighbor if they have the convictions of a godly disciple. Ask them, do you have the convictions of a godly disciple? If it takes a while to answer, we know the answer. Do you have the convictions of a godly disciple? The mission statement here at our church, drum roll, I've been having a lot of people ask me, so what's the mission statement, Pastor? What are we doing? What's going on? And so it's nothing spectacular. It's nothing crazy. It's nothing out of the ordinary. But just for our church here locally, you can write this down, put it on your heart, put it in the book. The mission statement is loving people to Jesus through discipleship, dedication, and duplication. Loving people to Jesus through discipleship, dedication, and duplication. Because how many know discipleship does take dedication on both sides? So when you're working with somebody, you're calling somebody on the phone, they're going through some hard times, and then that person you're encouraging now is encouraging you, you know? And so it'll work both sides. It's going to take some dedication. But hopefully, the end result is duplicating what you are through God. And now that person can now start serving and loving someone and reaching someone for Jesus. So very simple, discipleship, dedication, and duplication. And that's what we want to be. We want to be a church that passes the torch. Can you picture someone passing the torch to one on-fire disciple? To the next on fire disciple. From me to Mike, from Mike to Kenzie, from Kenzie to Luke. Man, I can't wait to Luke to see what he's gonna do with that thing. Man, and then from Luke to Ari, and then to Joey, and to Keith, to Carlos, and Teo. And then when I'm old and gone, hopefully by God's grace, they pass it on to somebody else. Amen. If Jesus tarries. That's a whole nother sermon right there, but there's a difference between an on-fire believer and a disciple. Believers don't always sometimes do, but disciples will do. In James, it says we're to be doers of the word and not hearers only. Because the devil believes, amen, but he does not do. Or does he? I don't think so. The devil believes, but he does not do. We're praying for people who will do. Not perfect. Is anyone here perfect? No one is here. If you're perfect, come up here and let's tell us how you do it. No one is perfect. We're not looking for perfection, but people who will put into practice what they believe. No matter the circumstance. So I want to go into the Word of God and look at the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Y'all know that story? We've got these three guys right here. These three guys are put into a situation during a time when the king created and made a decree and gave a command. And he said, when the music plays, when the music starts, I want everyone to fall down, bow down, and worship this gold image that I created. Not that big of a deal, right? Okay. So let's go to Daniel chapter 3. Turn there with me, Daniel chapter 3. And we're going to read starting at verse 7. And we're going to try to make our way to 27. So it says here, verse 7. So at that time when all the people heard the sound of the horn, the flute, harp, and lyre, in symphony with all kinds of music, all the people, nations, and languages fell down and worshiped the gold image which King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Stop right there. Everybody bowed down. I need to talk about this because what's happening, it's what's happening in our culture. Everybody's doing it, and because everybody's doing it, we think it's okay because everybody is doing it. Everybody's bows down, but we're going to read a little later, except these three. These three didn't bow down. And we'll get to those verses later. These disciples had something I believe we need to look at. It might not be easy to hear, but we need to look at and evaluate. Let God come into our heart and check us. And we be honest with God this morning. Point number one, I believe these guys had uncompromising convictions. Uncompromising convictions. What is a conviction? Conviction is a principle which you purpose to follow whatever the cost. You are certain of something. That's what a conviction is. But what worries me is when Christians don't have convictions, they got preferences. Because a conviction is something you're going to do no matter who's in the room, no matter who shows up, no matter who doesn't show up. A preference is a little different. If you have a preference, you will do it as long as it's convenient to be a Christian. We can look at the chameleon for an example. Teenager, kid, I want you to listen to me right now. You could look at the chameleon. I know you're going back to school. Look at the chameleon for an example. The chameleon is a little lizard. Y'all know what a chameleon is? It's a little lizard. And this little guy, he will change the color based on where he is. He will blend in with his background. It's a sad day when a Christian will blend in with his background. You know, when we're around church people, we know the church talk. We know what's, you know, but we can go from the Christian environment to the worldly environment, and we can blend right in with that too. You know, we don't stand out. There's no difference. Nobody can tell anything. There's unique about us. There's something different about you, especially when they're going through a hard time. There's some truth. There's a well of living water living inside of you, and they can take from that and they can dip their cup and drink and say, "Man, I want that." There's nothing unique. We can talk the talk of the world. We can sing the songs of the world. We can even get on the dance floor and dance with the world. I thought I was gonna get a little more amens than this. It's gonna be a long service. But God is wanting to challenge you this morning to love with love, to have convictions, no matter the circumstances. I like what the Supreme Court did. When someone said they had convictions, their convictions were being challenged by the opponent in the court in a very profound way, defined a conviction. Here were the three things. Write this down, the three things. It must be seen, number one. A conviction must be seen. If we say we're a Christian, it should be evident other than Sunday morning. Number two, it must be consistent. That means if you're a Christian who has convictions, you put into practice every time there's an opportunity to put into practice. You know, give me some examples. Some examples, church. Put into practice. Prayer. Anytime there's an opportunity to pray, we're praying. You know. What about tithing? We don't give when we have the money. Because if that was the case, we never have the money. Even when things are tight, things are tough, God says, trust me, give me what is mine. And we surrender that. And we say, Lord, I'm going to trust in you. You know? It must be consistent. Number three, your conviction cannot change. It doesn't swing with the popularity, you know? It doesn't swing with what's popping, what the media, what Hollywood is doing, what people at work are doing. It doesn't swing. It's consistent. These young men that we're going to read about had conviction. They're not going to compromise and change. And you and I this morning should have convictions that are driven by the Word of God. Nothing else. Not me, not with what I say, but what God says. Convictions of a godly disciple. And so I've had a lot of people ask me, and by the way, I just want to say thank you for the cards and the gifts. You have no idea what it means to me and my family and my wife, who, when we coming into this, going, Lord, we need you. And the encouragement, but a lot of you asking, who really are you? And what do you stand for? And what do you, I mean, especially people who want to come to our church, who just heard there's a new pastor in town, but waiting for this virus to kind of calm down. And so I hope you're watching this morning. Those who I've talked to, I've invited, those who have come and emailed us. This is for you this morning. Let me share with you some of my convictions that I get from the Word of the Lord. First and foremost, this Bible calls the shots for my life. Not Oprah Winfrey. I got an amen right there. Nothing against Oprah Winfrey, but not Oprah. She don't call the shots for my life. I remember working one time, did you hear what Oprah said? I said, no, I didn't hear what Oprah said. Man, that girl, she said, man, I'm doing it. I'm like, oh, good, well, I'll pray for you. Who else people be listening to? Who else? Dr. Phil. Not Dr. Phil. Not Ellen. Name them. This Bible calls the shots for my life. And if God says differently, I go with God. Number two, my body belongs to God. Your body belongs to God. Not drugs, not liquor. Not the person you're not married to. Your body belongs to God. Teenager, your body belongs to God. Your body belongs to God. My body belongs to God. Number three, your money should be earned and managed by God's principles. My and your money should be earned and managed by God's principles. My and your money should be earned and managed by God's principles. What does that mean? That means that the lotto is not the answer to my financial problems. My hard-earned money, the casino, is not the answer for my family. Number four. And again, folks, this is not an order that you have to. This is just my personal convictions that I'm praying that the Lord, you have your own convictions that God has given you that are off this word right here. But number four right here, marriage should be a lifelong commitment. Thank you for that. I was about to ask the overflow room if I could start hearing them. Thank you. Marriage should be a lifelong commitment. It saddens me when so many people treat marriage, especially this young generation growing up, you know. And I understand things happen, but moving forward, you know, we had some things in life and we had a breakup with somebody. Hey, things happen, I understand. But moving forward, the person you are married to right now, it saddens me when people treat marriage like a car. You remember that time you test drove the car and it's like, man, this is nice. Ooh, I got the cruise control, the windows work, the radio works. You could actually turn it up. You don't have to smack it, you know. The AC's working, and heat, you know, both. But time goes on and there's that rattle. And then we got some problems in the engine. And sometimes we go, well, did we get the oil changed? Oh my God, that was like 10,000 miles ago. And we start hearing things and now we have to start putting money into the car. And what we normally do, this is not worth it. I'm gonna trade this sucker in right now. Honey, let's go to the dealership. But how many of you know, you ever hear somebody say, man, if I would have just kept that Corvette, if I would have just kept that Camaro, if I would have just kept that, man, I had this beautiful, beautiful Oldsmobile, you know, 1979. It's like, because they don't make them like they used to. The person that God has given to you is going to take some work. You're going to take some time. You're going to have to invest because they don't make them like they used to. At least I know God's blessed me with a woman that I know they don't make them like this. Amen. And so when people treat their marriage like a vehicle, it saddens me. I know I wasn't there, but I'm pretty sure we said till death do us part. For better or for worse, for richer or for poor, sickness and in health. If me and my wife make it to this May 21st, because the enemy is doing everything he can to break us up, it will be 16 years. 16 long years for her. Not for me. I saved myself. No, it's been an amazing 16 years, and we're together. Not because we haven't had tension. Not because we haven't had what some would call intense fellowship. Not because we haven't had that, but because we worked through some things. Because divorce is not an option. Amen. Marriage can be tough, and some have bought into this way of thinking that when we get married, we're going to skip down this flowery road and everything's going to be fine. But you're skipping down this road and you're singing, we're off to see the wizard, the wonderful Wizard of Oz, and skipping and skipping and going. And all of a sudden, boom, reality hits. And you got to work through some things. And you skip for about 3 more seconds and then bam again. You gotta work through some things. You gotta start praying and you're gonna have some arguments, you're gonna have some challenges, but then that's when you come to church when you don't feel like it. And that's when you sit together when you don't feel like it. And that's when you counsel when you don't feel like it. Because marriage, it's not a contract, it's a commitment. It should be a conviction. Number five, You need conviction to raise your children, grandchildren. Church, we need to raise our kids, not let our kids raise us. My goal as a parent is not to be my kid's friend. Now, if we get along, that's wonderful, right? If we get along, me and my kids, we get along, praise God. But my goal in life is not to be my kid's best friend. My goal in life is to be their parent, to love them, and to show them the ways of God. The goal is not to get along. My responsibility is to love them and raise them according to godly principles. You know, if my kids ever come to me and say, "Well, Dad, my friends down the street, they," because, you know, once they start hitting the teen years, they start asking more questions, you know what I mean? "Well, why can't my kids do this, and why can't my friends do this, and their parents let them do that?" I'm going to tell them the same thing my dad told me. Hey, that's between them and them. But as for me and my house, we are going to serve the Lord. Yes. Parents, you need to have conviction when it comes to raising your kids. I thank God my dad didn't let me do what I wanted to do. At the time, you hate me. Oh, I can't believe you guys are the worst parents of the world. And now I'm going, thank you, Jesus, for parents with conviction. I remember telling my dad, "Dad, can we just miss one Sunday? We go to church every Sunday. Why can't we just miss one?" And my dad, you know, he had a thick accent. He said, "You know, Carlos, because one Sunday becomes two Sunday. Three Sunday becomes four Sunday. Four Sunday becomes five Sunday. Carlos, you can't live here, I don't care how old you are, and be able to go to church and not go to church. You can't live in my house and be able to go to church and not go to church." Thank God for parents with conviction. So number one was uncompromising convictions. Number two, this one I really like right here: walk with unwavering confidence. Unwavering confidence. I was going through my notes years ago, and I'm looking, unwavering confidence. Verse 16. Let's go. We're going to go to verse 16. We're looks like we're going to overtime, church. He's going into overtime. I'm sorry. I apologize. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If that is the case, our God whom we serve will deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king." I like how they said, "He will deliver us from your hands." What I get from this is either God is going to deliver us from the fiery furnace, but if he doesn't, and we go in there and we die, he's going to deliver us from you. You guys seeing that? That's what I get. God's going to deliver us either way from you. Because the God we serve has the capacity, the ability. He has the power to be there with us no matter what we're facing. Maybe we're in college and we feel like we're all alone, and he's there with us. Maybe we're stressed out. He's there with you. Maybe you're a preteen and you're going through some emotions you've never experienced before. God is with you. He could be with you. I gotta say, you gotta put yourself in these guys' shoes right here. They didn't know exactly what was gonna happen. They thought that God was gonna change the king's mind when they said, "No, we're not gonna do this." Put yourself in their shoes. You got all these people. I saw this beautiful picture, and I didn't want to put it up because I wasn't sure if it was a copyright or anything, but this awesome picture where Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are standing there, and this guy is kneeling, and he has his arm on one of them going like, "Come on, come down. It's no big deal. Just, you got to put yourself in their shoes." Maybe they thought, hey, if we make this stand, God is going to change the king's mind. Did that happen? No. Maybe they thought when they got closer to the fire that God was going to put the fire out. Did that happen? No. Matter of fact, we're going to get into it later. It got hotter. Who could testify that sometimes it get hotter? It got hotter. Maybe they thought that if they died, God would bring them back to life. I don't know what they were thinking. All I know is they said, "We know the God we serve will deliver us from your hand, O king." Verse 18, I love this. But if not, somebody say, but if not. But if not. I love this right here because sometimes I'm asking God for stuff and but if not. Sometimes things happen in life and I go, but if not. Let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up. Let it be known to you. Somebody say, let it be known to you. Let it be known to you. Let it be known to you, devil, enemy. Let it be known to you. Just because everybody else is doing it doesn't mean I'm going to do it. Teenager, when you're at school, let it be known to you. Just because all the other kids are looking at this doesn't mean I'm going to look at it. Let it be known to you, husband, wife, spouse, you're working and your spouse is at home and that person knows you're married and they're trying to flirt with you. Let it be known to you. Let it be known to you. Yes, I might suffer the consequences. I might be an outcast. I think we already are. I might be an outcast. I might lose my job. I might be talked about. But it's okay because God is going to come through for me. Let it be known to you. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when I'm reading this, they were willing to accept what they did not want to happen. This morning, while you're living for God, are you willing to accept even what you don't want to happen? I can't have a one-on-one with everyone here right now. But you know the things that are in your heart, the fears. Sometimes letting go of something, you know, God wants, God's asking you. It's tough, I know. I gotta surrender this. I gotta let it go. Those things. No matter what happens. God, give us a people who have convictions of a godly disciple. Because what we're here at Home Church, what we're after is not keeping the church full, but pure. Not perfect. Not perfect. But pure in the eyes of God. A robe, your soul, a heart dipped in the blood of Jesus with righteousness on top that could only come from him. It's not easy. I've been praying a lot and I've been seeing young men and women just surrendering their lives to God. Church, we're going to go somewhere. We're going to go somewhere. God is going to take us somewhere. But a generation with godly convictions. Because I don't want to come to church and be comfortable, personally. I don't want to come to church and be entertained. I want to preach truth. I want to hear truth. I don't want to be your friend. If we get along, that'd be awesome. But that's not what I'm here. I'm not trying to be your friend. I'm not trying to get your approval. I want to preach an unadulterated gospel. I don't want to entertain you. I'm not trying to put on a show. I know there's a lot of things that the inner man doesn't want to hear, but a charge I have to hold the word of God responsible for you to hear. We love you here so much at home. We want God to bring change into your life. I thank God for leaders, my district superintendent. For one time, he got in my face. Hey, he talked to me with love. Remember? I thank God for people who will encourage and not let down the standard so I can feel good as I'm being led astray. I don't want to be led astray. Let's get back to the verse, brother. Verse 19. Then Nebuchadnezzar was full of fury. Can you imagine that? And the expression on his face changed towards Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He spoke and commanded that the heat the furnace seven times more than it usually heated. And he commanded certain mighty men of valor who were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their trousers, their turbans, and their other garments, and they were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Verse 22, therefore, because the king's command was urgent and the furnace exceedingly hot, the flame of the fire killed those men who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Stop right there before we go. This is important. The soldiers who took Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to put them in the furnace, they got killed. If you're serving God this morning, look at your neighbor and say, don't mess with me, I got God. Don't mess with me, I got God. I'm serious, I'm not playing around. Don't gossip about me, I got God. The soldiers who took Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to go put them in the fire, they got killed. Verse 23, and these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished, and he rose in haste and spoke, saying to his counselors, did we not cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said to the king, true, O king. Look, he answered, I see four men loose. Who wants to be loose this morning? Loose. I see four loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Oh my gosh. You know what I get from this? This is what I get. From the moment you stand for righteousness, when it's not easy, because we all want to be accepted, right? There's a, hey, we want to be accepted, we want to be liked, but the moment you stand for God, no matter the situation, and you go into the fire, and you go in the fire, God is with you every step of the way. God is with us every step of the way. Then Nebuchadnezzar went near the mouth of the burning fiery furnace. It said it went near. He didn't go inside. He went near. He went near and spoke, saying, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God. Look how his conversation changes. The ones teasing you, the ones ridiculing you. Kids, teenagers, the ones at school teasing you, ridiculing you, hurting you. When they see God do a miracle in your life, they're going to start talking about the God you and I serve. The king says, come here. Come out and come here. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came from the midst of the fire, verse 27. And the satraps, administrators, governors, and the king's counselors gathered together, and they saw these men on whose bodies the fire had no power. The hair of their head was not singed, nor their garments affected, and the smell of the fire was not on them. You know what I get from this? When we're going through the fire and we're making stands, we're going to go through the fire. But when we come out, we're not going to look like we were in the fire. We might have some marriage problems. We might be having some marriage issues. But when we put God first and we surrender, we're gonna get out of that situation not looking like we came out of the fire. We're going to come out of the fire not smelling like we came out of the fire, because God has been with us the whole time. Church, I'm not going to apologize for getting excited, because when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah. I thank God for saving me. Amen. Let's worship that creator this morning. Let's all stand to our feet. I want to worship him. We're going to be praying for the back to school kids this morning, those who are going back to school. But right now, I just want to worship the creator. I want to worship the King of Kings. Who wants to sing praises to our God this morning? This God who can go through the fire with us, we're going to worship him. Amen. Those who are watching right now, those who are in our overflow room, worship with us. Stand to your feet and worship with us. No matter who's around, just worship the King of Kings. Josh, as you lead us this morning, we're going to praise him. Amen. I'd also like to ask if there's anyone, any teenagers in the overflow room, any kids that are going to be going back to school in the next week or so, I would ask Mark if you could grab some of the, if there's any teenagers or kids, you could even be going back to college. If you're going back to college, I'd like you to come into the sanctuary and we'll try to figure this out. We'll try to work it out where maybe some can leave and maybe stay in the foyer with us as we pray. I'm going to have some of the staff come and we're going to pray for these kids. But first, we're going to worship the Lord this morning. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Sing this song out, folks. Cry out to God this morning. Cry out to him.
This is my desire to honor you. And Lord, with all my heart, I worship you. And all I have within me, Lord, I give you praise. And all that I adore is in you, and only you.
Sing it out, church.
Lord, I give. Lord, I give you my heart, I give you my soul, and I live for you alone, and every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake, Lord, have your way in me.
This is my desire. Sing it out. This is my desire.
This is my desire.
Oh, sing it out, church.
To honor you. And Lord, with all
my heart,
I worship you. And only you. Within me, Lord, I give you praise. And all that I adore is in you.
Oh, hallelujah. Worship the King this morning. Raise your hands and sing with us this morning. Lord, I give you my heart.
Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul, and I work for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm away, and Lord, have your
every moment I'm aware. Lord, have your way in me. Lord, I give you my all. I give you my soul. I live for you alone. And every breath that I take, every moment I'm aware, Lord, have your way. Have you in me? Lord, have your way in me.
Amen. So, if you're going to be going back to school, let me, one second, church. So, Jeannie, if I can get your help, want to get the get them like 6 feet apart, if we could, please. Even if you're homeschooled, if you're going to preschool, it doesn't matter. I would like to pray for you. And Mr. Luke, thank you for being so flexible. Could I get this turned on, please? I'm going to be... And then I would ask the staff if you could come up behind. We're going to, wow. Okay. Hallelujah. You can stand right here. You can stand right there. You guys can stand right here. You can stand right here. You guys could just face me. There we go. Okay. Mike, if you could, maybe these two young men right here, if you want to pray for these two guys. I need a staff member to come behind Ezra and his sister. If I have a, let me, hold on 1 second. Let me, thank you so very much, Amanda. Give it up to Amanda. Her and her husband have been helping with the youth on Zoom. Can we give it up? Thank you so much, Amanda, for being here. Let's see. Amen. Amen, amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So I have a little poem that I want to read to you guys before you go to school. You guys excited for school? No? Okay. It's okay. Okay. Remember this, okay? Be humble enough to realize you still have a lot to learn. I'm in the same shoes, okay? So be humble, realizing you have a lot to learn. Be ambitious enough to know you can do anything you want to do with God. Be easy enough on yourself to enjoy, to laugh, to have fun and learn. Be mature enough to take responsibility for what you want to do. Be proud enough to take care of your body, your mind, and your spirit. Be confident enough to see that you are inside. What you are inside is more important than how you look outside. Be wise enough to choose your friends carefully. Be absolutely sure that wherever you go, whatever you do, God loves you. Okay? So church, what I'm going to do, I'm going to put the microphone, I'm going to hold the mic, okay, and we'll start here, and we'll just kind of work our way down, and could you, Pat, could you pray for this young man right here? Yes, and Pastor Dan, would you be able to come behind Carlos, Mateo, and Arabella? Hallelujah. And Jeannie, you got this family covered right here, Mark, you got, okay, perfect, all right. Well, church, be patient with us. Those who are watching online right now, pray with us. We have many children here this morning, and we want to pray. So pray with us as you're watching this morning. Barb, we will start with you. You pray for Maddie and Kenzie.
Lord, we just thank you. Lord, thank you and praise you for Kenzie and Maddie. And Lord, we just pray that this morning they would remember that even if mom is the teacher, there is so much she can teach them Help them to be willing to learn. Help them to be willing to obey, to listen, and to really want to be better at what she is teaching them to do. And we give you the praise because you're going to fill these girls with the righteousness that only comes from Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.
Father God, we just want to lift up Andrew and Noel to you this morning, Lord. I just pray for these young men as they are headed back to school, Lord. I pray that you have your hand of protection upon them. Father God, I pray that they go back with open hearts and open minds as they're going to be learning, Lord. And Father, I just pray that these young men, that they can be your light.
Yes,
that
yes.
People can see Jesus through them. And I pray that that you work through them in their school, Lord. I pray any fears, any concerns that they have, I just pray your sense of peace over them, Lord. Just be with them through this school year, Lord. And we pray this in your precious name.
Lord, I just pray over Ezra and Imani. I just pray that you would give them the fruits of the Spirit as they go back to school, Lord, that gentleness, faithfulness, peacefulness, self-control, Lord, that they would be examples even to their teachers of these things, and that they would be lights for your world, Lord, that they would show how to walk without fear, and that they would show that your faithfulness and your love is what keeps us safe,
yes.
Keeps us strong. Gives us wisdom,
yes.
And I just thank you so much for them. I thank you that they're here, and I just pray a wonderful, bountiful amount of blessing on them this school year. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Amen. What is your name? Dear Heavenly Father, I want to pray for Kylie, Lord. We thank you for this young lady who has so much future and so much potential, Lord, and we just pray you would protect her as she's at school, protect the classroom, those she will be with, the teachers, bless her, and this new school year. We thank you for Kylie, and we just pray your protection and blessing upon her and her family. In Jesus' name, amen.
Father, it's not easy sometimes to be the children of a pastor. Sometimes they are looked at differently than other children, but help them to remember not only that they're children of a pastor, but they're children of a Heavenly Father. And I pray for them, whether they go to school or they do homeschool, that you would give them the understanding that they need, that they would learn what you would want them to learn, both about this world, but also about your world in the heaven, that you would help them to be children of yours. We pray this in Jesus' name.
Amen. Dear God, we ask as this child goes back to school that he knows that even though HaSatan will do his best to bring him down, to have other students trying to put fear in him with all that has been going on, that they will try to get him maybe to smoke, to drink, to do all the stuff that we know is against your will. Give him the peace,
yes,
and the power to say no. Give him the peace that he knows that you are there walking with him so that he will be a light unto the other students, and that maybe will help them to say no as well. Be with him and bless him as he takes his first steps back into school. Amen.
Heavenly Father, I just lift up Terry and Reuben and all of these children, Father, that grace their house. And for each one of these kids, Lord, whether they spend a day, a week, a month, or a year with Terry and Reuben, I just pray that they are introduced to you through Terry and Reuben's actions and guidance and leadership. And so I just ask your blessing upon them as they enter another school year, whether it's preschool or elementary, junior high, high school, whatever it might be, Father, just watch over them, care for them, and protect them. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Father, I pray for all these children that they may be like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. May they have a conviction, Father God. May they be consistent. May you work through them and give them the power to stand for you, Father.
Father, may you move and have your being in them, Father. In the very strong name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Everyone, real quick, stay where you are, stay where you're at, just real fast. I just want to encourage you before you go. Some of us this morning need to go home and get out of the situation that we're in and have convictions. Many of us need deliverance, but God can't deliver us if we keep compromising. So I want to encourage you this morning to go home. And again, remember, we're all in this together. We have many leaders here. We're all in this together. And we're here for you here at home. Be blessed. Have a wonderful Sunday. I can't wait to see you next week. Thank you so very much. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Hallelujah.